Today, I want to start with a joke, which is always dangerous. All right, so a piece of string walked into a bar and asked the barman for a drink. And the barman was a bit of a surly-looking bloke, and he wasn't very happy, and he jerked his thumb at a sign on the back wall that said, "We don't serve string." And the barman said, "We don't serve string. Get out of here." So the piece of string walked out of the bar. But the piece of string was quite thirsty and really wanted a drink. So the piece of string had a bit of a think. And the piece of string kind of twisted himself around a bit and twisted. Yeah. And then the piece of string kind of ruffled up his ends a bit. And then the piece of string walked back into the bar and asked the barman for a drink. And the barman said, "Hey, aren't you that piece of string that I just kicked out of here?" And the piece of string said, "No, I'm afraid not." Oh, thank you, Dylan. Excellent. I want you to keep this joke in mind throughout the sermon. There is a point. I'm not just telling a joke for no reason, although that is fun too. With that joke in mind, I want to read to you again part of the gospel reading that I read before from the Gospel of Mark. Jesus went into the synagogue again, and as I'm reading this, think about who in the joke is like who in the Bible reading, all right? Jesus went into the synagogue again and noticed a man with a deformed hand. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the deformed hand, "Come and stand in front of everyone." Then he turned to his critics and asked, "Does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath or evil deeds? Or is it a day to save life or to destroy it?" But they wouldn't answer him. He looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to the man, "Hold out your hand." So the man held out his hand and it was restored. At once the Pharisees went away to meet with the supporters of Herod to plot how to kill Jesus. Now, who to you seems most like the grumpy bartender in that passage? What do you reckon? This is not a rhetorical question. The Pharisees, the grumpy people, the people who went, "You can't heal on the Sabbath, that's not allowed, you're breaking the law, that's bad, get out of here." All right? Who seems most like the piece of string? No, that's not the answer I'm looking for. The guy with the deformed hand, right? The twisted hand, okay? Because he didn't fit in, and he wasn't, they were kind of looking at him, not as a person, but as a deformity and as someone that they could look down on. Now, Deb's taking the kids out. I'm really only going to be a very short time, but we do have a children's ministry, so if you guys want to go with Deb, she's got some fun things to do. Sorry, I should have mentioned that at the start. Now I can go on a bit longer. No. With both the joke and this Bible passage in mind, think about this. What is twisted out of shape in our lives? What things are not quite right, not quite straight? Maybe think about how do our judgments of others exclude people rather than include them? Or what about this question? How do we twist ourselves in knots in order to get other people's approval or to protect ourselves or to try and impress people or even to try and impress God? And finally, once again, thinking of the joke, are we working so hard and are our lives so busy that we feel like both of our ends are frayed, that our lives are coming apart at the edges? See, Jesus in this Bible passage works to bring restoration. It says when the man with the twisted hand stretched out his hand, Jesus healed, restored. The word is actually restored. He restored his hand to what it was meant to be like. It wasn't twisted anymore. It wasn't deformed. It wasn't out of shape. And Jesus brings restoration in three ways. He straightens what is twisted. He weaves together the frayed ends and edges, and he includes rather than excludes. And I'm just going to expand really briefly on each of those things. Jesus has come to straighten what is twisted, not only with the man with the deformed hand, but also in our lives. And the way that he does that is through healing, sometimes physical healing, sometimes spiritual healing, sometimes relational healing, where things are kind of twisted out of shape in our friendships or our relationships. So through healing and through forgiveness. Because the Bible, when it uses the word sin, doesn't just mean bad things that we do. It means the ways that our lives are twisted out of shape and make us less than human. So when Jesus forgives people, he actually straightens people out and restores their full humanity. He heals them in their relationship with God and in their relationship to self and others. Jesus comes to bring restoration also by weaving together the frayed edges of our lives. And I want to suggest to you today that keeping a Sabbath, a day of rest where we do nothing productive, where we just enjoy what God is and what God is doing, is one of the most powerful and countercultural ways that we can let God weave back together our frayed edges. I have certainly found this to be true in my life. Friday is generally my Sabbath day. I can't always keep Friday as a Sabbath day, but I try to do nothing productive on a Friday. I do things that I enjoy. I hang out with my family. I feast and eat good food. I go for a walk, all of that kind of stuff, but I try not to do any productive work. And I have found that personally to be a really important discipline in my life for a number of reasons. One of them is, believe it or not, you can get more done in 6 days than you can get done in seven. This is an actual physiological truth. We're not designed to work all the time. We need to have a rest. We're not just work units. We're not just measured in our worth by what we produce. And the keeping of a Sabbath helps us to remember that. The keeping of a Sabbath also helps us to remember that God is God and we are not. And you know what? The universe actually runs reasonably well without us for a whole day. Ah, shock. How could that ever be? We think that our life and our work is so important that we couldn't possibly stop. But just before this passage, Jesus says, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the needs of the Sabbath. To Sabbath is also to rest in God. And that's one of the things that Jesus comes to bring to us. He comes to say, you know what? You don't need to meet a whole lot of rules to kind of get your way into God's bar and ask for a drink. You don't have to meet a whole bunch of rules. And that's what the Pharisees had made the Sabbath day, that, you know, you could only walk a certain distance. You could only write a certain number of letters on the page. You could only do particular things. And they'd put all these rules and regulations. And instead of saying, hey, the Sabbath is a day for being with God, they said the Sabbath is a day for kind of keeping all these rules in order to make sure that you don't work, right? So if we are keeping a Sabbath, we have to be careful not to let it become another set of legal things that we do. But here's the good news. You can rest in God. God's work for you through Jesus is already complete. This is why we have a cross in chapel and in church. God's done everything that needs to be done to straighten us out, to untwist us, to make us right with him through Jesus. We don't have to do anything else. We don't have to meet up to any other standard. And so we can rest in God and say, God, I know you've done everything that we need to do for you and me and other people to be restored. Finally, Jesus brings restoration, excuse me, because he includes rather than excludes. Yes, please. Jesus sees the man with the deformed hand not just as his disability, but as a human being made in the image of God that is deeply loved by God and that deserves someone who deserves to be restored. No matter what the rules might say, Jesus cares for that man. He cares for him as a person. And Jesus cares for each of us as human beings as well. Jesus doesn't look at our twistedness or our brokenness. He looks at us and says, "What a beautiful person made in the image of God. I love them deeply and I will work to restore them." So Jesus brings restoration through the straightening of what is twisted. Jesus offers healing and forgiveness for us. Jesus brings restoration to weave together the frayed edges of our life so that we can rest in God, so that we know we don't have to work so hard to try and please God. And Jesus brings restoration because he includes rather than excluding. You know, if the joke had Jesus in it, it would have gone something like this. It probably wouldn't have been as funny, but it would have made a much better movie, all right? So the piece of string walked back into the bar and the barman says, "Hey, aren't you that piece of string that I just kicked out of here? Get out of here." And the piece of string says, "I'm afraid not." And Jesus comes and takes the piece of string and takes him outside. And he goes, "My friend, I love you very much. You don't need to be anything other than you are. And slowly I will weave your life back together so that it's the way that it's meant to be." And then Jesus takes the piece of string by the metaphorical hand and walks back into the bar, and the barman says, "Hey, that's a piece of string. I've told you 3 times. We don't serve string in here. Get out." And Jesus walks up to the back of the bar and rips the sign off the wall and tears it into little pieces and says, "I don't see any rule that says there can't be string here. This is a piece of string, and he's with me." Now, that would be a good ending for the piece of string, I reckon. What does that mean for you? Well, Jesus is with you. And any time that you hear that little voice in your head, or maybe a voice from someone else that goes a bit like this, "You're just a..." fill in the blank. "You're just a piece of string." No, I hope you don't have a voice in your head that ever says that, all right? If you do, please go and seek professional help. But, you know, "You're just a bad parent," or "You're just a bad Christian," or "You're not good enough," or Jesus goes, "You know what? They're a child of God, and they're with me. And I'm the one who gets to say whether they're good enough or not. And in my book, I love them, and they are." So, that's it. I hope it kind of worked for you. I hope that whenever you hear that really cheesy joke again, you will remember that Jesus has come to straighten what is twisted. He's come to repair those frayed edges of our lives, and he's come to include rather than exclude. And that you are not just an anything. You are a child of God who's deeply loved, and you're with him. You're with Jesus. Amen.